Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the Mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
Down the dark turns to glory. There was a time in England in the 1800s when religion was in the air. The colleges resounded with theological arguments. The hotbed was Oxford. And the spark and fire was the brilliant John Henry Newman. When Newman became a convert to Catholicism, the trickle of conversions Romeward became a torrent. One young man, a delicate, sensitive poet named Gerard Manley Hopkins, became caught up by the current.
What in the name of Satan are you doing in a Jesuit seminary?
I know that voice.
Well, then turn around and behold the man.
Bobby Bridges, what are you doing here? How'd you find me?
Oh, sniffing uphill and down dale. You're hard to find, Hopkins. Oh,
come on, sit down, sit down. Here, take off your coat.
A Jesuit seminary. Saints' prisons.
No scoffing now.
What, me scoff? Never. I didn't even know you'd turn Catholic.
Well, you look well, you old verse monger, you.
Mm-hmm. I feel well. Oh, but it's bitter cold out there, isn't it?
Come close to the fire.
Now, what are you going to offer me?
I'll make some tea.
Tea? But how about some sweet mulled wine to warm my bone marrow.
Tea is all I've got.
Oh, all right. Then let's sit down to tea. Ah, beautiful blaze you have going.
Notice the inscape.
Inscape. Are you still using that word? What the devil does it mean?
The shape a thing takes because of its inner essence.
Seascape. Landscape. Inscape.
Yeah.
It's a good word. Well, how's your inscape?
Oh, fair, that's a middling.
So, you're going to be ordained and don the cloth, are you?
Tomorrow, God willing.
Oh, have no fear, he's always willing. Father Hopkins, doesn't ring right to me. I think I'll call you Daddy Hopkins.
Oh, come on, Bob.
I hope they're feeding you all right.
Everything's fine. I'm happy.
Ah, who cares about happiness? Being free, that's all that counts.
Oh, when you're free, you're happy. And when you're happy, you're free.
Oh, yes, yes, you've become a Jesuit.
Now, to what do I owe this honor, Bridges?
Oh, I've come to visit. We haven't seen one another since college.
If I know you, there's a motive. I hope you haven't come to insult me only.
Oh, it's good to see you, Hopkins. I've missed you all these years.
And you? Are you married?
Well, there are some women urging me toward it.
Still writing.
Aren't you?
Poetry writing is of the past. I have God's work to do.
But what about all the poems you wrote before?
They're right here.
Well, what are you going to do with them?
Burn them.
Well, they should be published.
No, I'm very serious. In fact, now that you're here, we can have a ceremony.
Give me those poems.
They're going to the fire bridges. Tomorrow I take my vows. I don't want the past intruding on my new life.
Look, those are valuable pieces of paper.
Valuable to whom?
To me. I want them.
Why?
Because you're the best poet in England, even if you've turned round your collar. You're the best. You're better than me, even.
Oh, that's very gracious.
No, it's the truth. Now, look, I've given up a practice of medicine to work as a poet. It's what I should be. It's what I am. It's my Inscape. And I've started a magazine. And I'm going to publish my poems, and your poems, and all that's fresh and new.
Is this why you came?
Yes. Yes, I came for the poems. You are going to be famous.
I don't want to be famous. I don't want to be... I want to be nobody. I want to be lost in God's work.
What?
Yes.
Does God only work through priests? Not through poets, painters, sculptors? What, are we all doing Satan's work?
Well, poetry's fine if you're a poet. I'm not.
This religion has driven you mad. If you're not a poet, who is?
You. Tennyson. Browning. Not me.
Well, what will you do, Ryder? Just say masses and let the faithful pour their sins into your ears and concoct long, dreary sermons? What about your gift, man, your talents? Are you going to bury it?
I'll sacrifice my talent for the sake of his kingdom.
Look, let me have those poems. I won't put your name on them.
No.
Look, I won't let you do it, Hopkins. Now give me those poems.
Come on, Bobby, let's go.
Fool. Give them to me.
No, I won't. No, here.
Well, I hope you're happy.
I'm free.
What did you do with my coat?
Oh, Bobby, don't go. Well, there's so much to talk about.
I hope you'll be as good a priest as you are a poet.
I'm going to try.
Well, then. Farewell.
You'll write me sometime, won't you? Send me your poems?
Maybe. Father Hopkins.
Goodbye, Bridges. Pray for me.
I tell you, it's disgraceful. Absolutely disgraceful.
Please try to control yourself, Miss O'Fogarty. Now, can you please tell me just what it is that you're...
Well, you're supposed to be his superior, aren't you? How can you permit such a man to preach?
Well, Father Hopkins is a fine man.
Fine, is he? Well, if you'd been in church this morning and heard his obscenities, you wouldn't think him so fine.
I've sent for him, and I'll speak to him. But first, could you tell me exactly what he said that was so offensive?
The church is the house of God, you know.
I'm aware of that, Mrs. Fogarty.
And I assure you, Monsignor Ryan, that I am not the only voice that is raised. I speak for the United Societies of this parish. Our vote this morning after Mass was unanimous. And mind you, we have not had a unanimous vote in all the 39 years I've been attending this church. I was baptized in this church, you know.
But what was it you all unanimously agreed upon?
We agreed that the sermon your Father Hopkins delivered today was obscene, sacrilegious, and a disgrace to the entire Catholic Church.
Well, surely the entire Catholic Church wasn't present at your meeting this morning, Miss O'Fogarty.
Oh, so you think this is amusing, Monsignor? Well, I'm a respectable woman. There's not a soul in the parish that can point a finger at me. And I do not intend to sit and listen and to be led into thinking vile, impure thoughts by one of your newfangled priests. So help me God.
Oh, of course not, Mrs. O'Fogarty.
And we, the United Societies of St. Gertrude's Parish, officially demand his removal. And unanimously, too.
Oh, I'm sure you don't mean that.
No, we do. We don't care where you send him either, but I, for one, and I swore before all, I will not come to another Mass another Sunday while that man remains in his parish.
But what did Father Hopkins say, Miss O'Fogarty?
No, you're not going to get me to repeat such things.
Well, we shall find out right now. Ah, come in, Father. We've been waiting for you.
I am sorry that I took so long. Hello, Miss O'Fogarty. Lovely morning, isn't it? Barbarous in beauty.
Barbarous in beauty.
Father Hopkins, it seems we have a little complaint here.
Oh, not a little. No, no, not a little.
It concerns your sermon this morning. What was its subject?
The church as a life-giving source of grace.
Oh, that doesn't sound so terrible.
He said it was like a cow full of milk which nursed us as hungry children.
I meant it as a comparison, Miss O'Fogarty.
It sounds rather poetic. Somewhat bizarre, but rather poetic. Father Hopkins was once a poet, you know.
Poets? It's the poets that are ruining the world. Wearing long hair and saying anything that comes to their heads.
I'm sorry if the comparison offended you, Miss O'Fogarty. I used it because I thought it was vivid.
We don't need vivid sermons. We need to be uplifted. That's what we need.
Oh, now, don't go, Miss O'Fogarty.
I shan't stand in the presence of this man another second. Now, you heard my complaint. You shall have to see to the rest.
What do you mean, see to the rest?
Oh, they had a meeting and they want you removed.
Because of a metaphor?
Now, this is not the first complaint about your sermons, Father. The last one was when you compared the Holy Spirit to a coach on a cricket team urging us on. Do you remember?
Yes, I do my best, Monsignor.
I know you do. Look, write out your sermons from now on, and let me read them over.
Of course.
And please, spare us the poetry. We have simple people in our parish. Speak to them simply.
I'll try.
Good. Now, Father, have you ever thought that perhaps you might be happier somewhere else, where your talents would be more at home?
My only talent was verse writing, and we Jesuits have little need of such things.
How about teaching? The young, with their bouncy little minds, might welcome the freshness of your approach. It's a thought.
Meanwhile, there's the United Societies and Miss O'Fogarty.
Oh, nothing to worry about there. I'll call a meeting during the week. They want to have a country fair. I've been putting them off. Well, they'll have it now. All politics, you know. All politics. What exactly did you say in that sermon, Father?
Verbatim?
Well, as close as you can get.
Well, I said, in effect, that the church is an organism for transmitting grace to those who approach it willingly. She's like a cow with full udders, wandering through the pastures of the world, ready to nourish anyone who comes to milk it.
That's rather nice. Very nice. Through the pastures of the world. Very nice.
I'm much better now, Monsignor. There's no need to stay.
You're still pale.
Fresh air does wonders. Look, there's the first star.
Come, let's stroll in the garden. I've nothing to do.
All right.
You haven't been well, have you? You've been working too hard.
Not at all. Tonight was unusual. Cooped up in that confession is what did it. There wasn't enough air. My stomach got queasy.
You collapsed during the Mass last Sunday.
I've been fasting too long. I overdo things sometimes.
Just recently, you begged to be excused from preaching the mission. You need a holiday. I'm quite willing.
I told you I'm all right.
Relax, Father. I'm only trying to help you.
I'm sorry. I'm very jumpy. I don't know what's wrong.
I think I do.
I'll be better tomorrow. If I can only get some sleep. Terrible trouble sleeping.
I think it's the work. I think you're not meant to be a parish priest.
But I am. I am.
There are other assignments that might suit you better.
Well, I like it here at St. Gertrude's. I like being close to people.
No one who really likes what he's doing gets sick as often as you do. Your whole being rebels against this work. Can't you tell?
Monsignor, what can I do?
God's work should be done with some joy.
But you assigned me here to work with you.
I know. And I'm thinking of assigning you elsewhere.
Where were you thinking of sending me?
I've been asked to take over as rector of University College, the old Catholic university that Cardinal Newman founded.
Ah.
Father,
I'm going to accept the position on condition that you come with me.
To teach?
Well, you did teach school, didn't you? Did you like it?
Greek and Latin classics, and yes, I loved it.
Then it's settled.
Oh, thank you, Monsignor, thank you. With that to look forward to, well, the rest of the summer won't be bad at all.
Let's stroll back.
Look at those fireflies. How happy they are.
Burning the midnight oil again, Father Hopkins.
The ordeal will be over soon.
Ah, marking papers is the most tedious part of teaching.
Now, this pile never seems to diminish.
Why don't you rest now? Finish them tomorrow.
Marks are due tomorrow.
You're driving yourself too hard, Father.
No, not more than anyone else.
Have you written any more poetry, as I suggested?
Well, I've so little time.
You should find time. You're very good, in my opinion.
I've written a sonnet or two this past year, but...
But what?
I don't feel right taking time off from my other duties for such a frivolous thing as poetry writing.
To be able to write poetry is a gift from God. The creation of beauty is no small thing, and certainly no frivolous thing.
I might try when I have some time.
You must try. You need it. You need something.
I was no good at parish work, and I'm no good as a teacher either.
You shall take a vacation between terms, under obedience. And I want you to eat better, and I want you to write some poetry.
Under obedience?
Well, if that's the only thing that will abolish your scruples about it.
Then I will try. But I really must get back to these papers.
What's wrong with your eyes?
Nothing.
You squint and blink too much. They're all bloodshot.
It's a little strain, that's all.
Father Hopkins, what am I going to do with you?
Forbear, Father, forbear.
Good night. Don't forget about the poetry, please.
Good night, Monsignor.
Hopkins?
Well, look who's here.
What the devil are you doing in bed?
Well, to be perfectly honest, Bridges, I think I'm dying.
Oh, come, come. How can you be dying?
It's very simple. I've been working at it for a long time.
Well, where's your doctor?
Right now, I suppose he's sitting down to tea.
Well, why isn't he here? Good God, what kind of Christians do they have here in Dublin? You need a doctor.
Well, you're a doctor, aren't you, Bridges?
I was. Now, you listen to me, sir. Father, whatever you want to be called. I didn't come up all the way from London to watch you die.
I don't blame you. It's a weary, rickety trip, I know.
Now, don't give me your bloody sympathy about my trip. I'm going to get this doctor if I have to yank him up here by his ears.
The man has done all he can, believe me.
Well, then he's a charlatan, a horse doctor. A real doctor never says he's done all he can. He keeps trying, man.
You're making me very tired, roaring and stomping about the way you're doing.
Oh, I'm sorry, old man. Forgive me.
Keep your distance. What have you got? Typhoid fever, they tell me. But I don't have it as has me.
Why, you used to be as healthy as an apple. And even the last time I saw you.
Remember the night we burned the poem? 12 years ago.
No. You burned them, not me. I don't know how I ever forgave you for that.
Well, you look well. It's white on your beard and temples becomes you.
Hmm? Oh, yes. Yes, so the ladies keep telling me. I've become quite a success for the fair sex. The older I get, the more they're attracted to me. Or is that too roguish for your Jesuitical ears?
These ears are well seasoned after all those hours I've spent in the confession box.
Gerard Manley Hopkins, a priest. God, I still can't get over it.
Neither can I.
Why did you stop writing to me, Gerard?
Well, I was very busy. Masses, sermons, confessions, novenas, missions. The Irish love such things. And letter writing is a mighty chore.
Well, I
I thought I might have said something in one of my letters that offended you.
But don't be silly. After all the names you've called me, what could you possibly say to offend me?
Huh. Any more poems?
Just scraps. Scraps.
Oh? Well, let me have a look at them.
I can't show them to you.
Well, you'd better, because I'm the one who's going to have to edit your papers and publish your poems if you insist on this dying of yours.
I told you I have no desire to be known now and never.
You may have control over it while you're alive, but afterwards, my friend, you shall be famous. Now, let me see those poems.
They're only fragments.
So, let me see them. What's there to hide?
There are no poems, blast you! No poems, no lines, no notes. There's nothing, nothing. I have nothing to show. Nothing, nothing to show. Nothing at all, no poems.
Gerard, do you want some water?
Here. Please, water. Sorry, Bob.
For what?
Oh, for exploding like that.
Oh, no, there's no apology necessary for that.
For what, then?
For failure to fulfill your talents. Missing your inscape, if you will. Apologize, Hopkins. It can be a rehearsal for the one you're going to have to make to the Almighty.
I did what he asked of me.
He asked you to be yourself. You hid yourself. You squashed yourself.
He called me to the priesthood. I came. I served. I have kept the faith.
Oh, blessed, blessed martyr.
You mock me, Bridges.
No, no. You mock yourself. He called you. Did you get some special vision and revelation?
Everything pointed to this.
What everything? You were an exuberant man with the verve and fire of a poet. The humdrum, the routine drove you mad. You had no feel for common people. You were highly nervous, a lousy public speaker. That points to the priesthood. All you were interested in was the living language, and you taught the dead ones. Marking dreary examination papers, droning out sermons. That, in a breath, is your everything, you fool.
If I've been a fool, I've been a fool for Christ.
You're a fool for yourself. You went against yourself, Jeremy Hopkins, and you're the fool. Don't try to excuse yourself by Christ's cross.
It's called the folly of the cross. It's all in the book.
Christ's death was no folly. He was what he was. And it was because he was that he was killed. A fiery, burning life, an incandescent preacher. That was him. That was his talent. He lived up to what he was.
You know, you should have been the priest, Bridges. You're positively eloquent.
You were a poet. Before the dreary life you've led snuffed the light out of you, you could have achieved the sanctity you wanted by being a poet.
I wanted to glorify God, Bridges, that's all.
But your poems could have done that. It's what you might have done that damns you.
I'm not damned, Bridges. Please, don't say that.
Well, that's up to your God. You know, I'm England's poet laureate now, don't you?
Are you? Well, congratulations.
Yes. And you're 100 times the poet I am. And I know it. That makes it an empty glory, okay?
No.
You should have had the crown. And I'd give it to you if I could. God, if I didn't love you so much, I'd condemn you to hell for throwing away your gifts.
Oh, Bridges. Bridges, don't you see? Perhaps my essence, my inscape, was that of one who must miss his own essence. Now that makes me a success.
That makes you a Jesuit, that's all. Oh, well, who knows? I'm no judge.
Don't move away from me, Bridges.
But I'm sitting right here.
Don't turn down the lamp.
I'm not.
And why has it got so dark?
Are you here, Bobby?
Yes, I am.
Easy, friend. Lie back.
If it was a mistake, will Jesus believe me? Will he forgive me, Bobby?
I think he will.
I hope he will.
I'm sure he will.
Oh, good. I was frightened for a minute. Oh, Bobby, I'm so happy. I'm so happy.
Gerard, can you hear me? Gerard? Dear Gerard. So Father Hopkins died in my arms, and I, his friend, Robert Bridges, gathered his papers. Gradually, by publishing a poem here and there, it was my joy to prepare an audience for this fresh, new poet. In 1918, the collected poems of Gerard Manley Hopkins was published. It stirred the hearts of men and gave new life to the priest who was a poet, and gave the world a poet who was a priest.